Perhaps you've heard the figure of speech, slow as Christmas. Anybody heard this? This is taking as slow as Christmas. Maybe you've heard this before, and I don't know where the figure of speech came from, but I can assure you that as a child, I knew exactly what it meant. Because as a child, it feels like Christmas takes forever to get here, doesn't it? I remember when I was a child, we would set up sort of our holiday tradition was to set up the Christmas tree on the day after Thanksgiving. And so we'd set up the Christmas tree, we'd put the ornaments on the tree, we'd string the lights, we would do all this stuff, put the Christmas music on. And then my parents would take all the gifts, they would put them under the tree. And for a child, this was torture. Because every day you'd wake up, go downstairs, and you would see a pile of Christmas gifts. And I would shake them, I would look at them, I would rearrange them, I would try to guess what was in them, and I would be like, "What? Mom, can we open?" And she would say, "Will, wait until Christmas. You have to wait." And then another memory I have of Christmas is we would go on Christmas Eve over to my grandparents' house. And we would get there, and I would say, "Is it time to open presents?" And they would say, no, you can't open presents until dark. I'd say, okay, so the kids and I, all my cousins, we'd run outside, we'd play football, and we'd play all these games, and we'd try to pass the time, and we'd run inside. "Is it time yet?" They'd say, "Is it dark?" "No, is it time?" And then we're like, "We just want to open presents." And then finally the sun would set, and we'd go in, and we'd say, "Is it time to open presents?" They'd say, "No, we have to eat dinner first." And so the kids were like, we're like shoving food down our mouths. And we're like, "All right, we finished dinner." And the adults just take forever. And finally the adults finish. Then we got to clean up. And then they clean up. And it's like, finally, it's all clean. Dinner is away. And we say, "Can we open presents now?" And they say, "Yes, but first, Uncle Fred has to read the Christmas story." And you're like, "Oh my gosh." And there's something I need to tell you about my Uncle Fred. My Uncle Fred was an Uncle Fred. Do you know what I mean by this? He was the kind of uncle who just loved to torture his nephews and his nieces. And so he would read the Christmas story as slowly as possible. And then finally it would be over and we'd get to open presents. And then Christmas Eve, we'd go home from my grandparents. My parents would tuck me into bed and they'd say, "Okay, one more sleep. When you wake up, Santa will be here." How well do you think I slept? How well did you sleep as a child on Christmas night? You're tossing, you're turning, you're waiting, you're anticipating, and you're going, "When is the sun going to rise, and when is Christmas going to get here?" That is what marks Christmas for a child. Slow as Christmas, that's what that figure of speech means. Why does it take so long? Waiting, excitement, anticipation, hope. Frustration, longing, these are the emotions of Christmas. And we say, "Is it Christmas yet?" That's what the kids will say. And looking back now, I realize that it was actually the waiting that actually made the joy of Christmas so thrilling, because it was the culmination of an entire month of waiting for this moment where the gifts were under the tree. The season of waiting for Christmas was as central to my experience as Christmas Day itself. I actually don't have very many memories of Christmas Day itself. All my memories are celebrating the Christmas season with my family. You see, it's the seasons of waiting that are just as important as the actual Christmas Day in the life of a child. And I didn't know it at the time, but my waiting for Christmas was actually teaching me a profound spiritual lesson about God. And that is that in our waiting on God and in our lives, we will have to wait on God on many occasions. But in our waiting on God, we are shaped and formed and comforted in such a way that the waiting is as central and formative to our spiritual lives as the blessings we are waiting on themselves. So throughout church history, Christians have observed a season called Advent. It's a season where we look back and we remember and try to relate to the waiting of the people of Israel for a Savior. You remember they waited for thousands of years for the advent of the Messiah to come into the world. And so we try and relate to them and remember what it was like for them. But it's also a time where we look forward with hope and anticipation to the second coming of Christ into our world. And so we wait with hope and anticipation that just as God delivered on his promise to the people of Israel 2,000 years ago in Jesus, He will deliver on his promise to the church that he will return and wipe every tear from our eyes, and he will bring joy and peace and justice, and he will reign forever in the new heavens and new earth. And we wait for this at Advent. We fix our eyes on this and we wait. It's a season of waiting. We just sang today some Advent songs. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Come. In the darkness we were waiting without hope and without light until from heaven he came running. There was mercy in his eyes. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. These are the songs of Advent. Advent is a time where we remember that God has delivered on his promises in the past, and he will deliver on his promises again in the future. And while we wait for the promises of God to be fulfilled, we wait not with bitterness or cynicism, but we wait with hope and anticipation. You know, in the Christian life, we all experience seasons of waiting. Some of you are in seasons of waiting right now, seasons where you feel like you're living between the promises of God and the fulfillment of those promises. God has said, but he hasn't yet. What do we do in the in-between? We wait. Maybe you're waiting for a spouse. Maybe you're waiting for a child. Maybe you're waiting for a child to return. Maybe you're waiting for comfort. You're waiting for relief. You're waiting for healing. And you're walking by faith. You're trying to, at least. You're trusting in hope while your dreams and your longings feel like they're being delayed. And that's not easy, is it? Boy, it's not easy. Seasons of waiting are frustrating. They're hard. But if we understand the message of Advent and the message of Christmas, and if we understand and cling to the promises of God, we can wait with hope and anticipation that God is true to his word and his blessings are always right on time. Our scripture this afternoon is Galatians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul writes in this passage, he says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons." I want to give you three comforts today. We're in a series, an Advent series called While We Wait. And I don't know what you're waiting on right now, but I want to give you three comforts to you from the scriptures while you wait. The first is this, is while we wait, remember God's faithfulness. When God seems slow, remember God's faithfulness. Our text today says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. I want us to zero in on that phrase, the fullness of time. What does that mean? Does that just mean like, at the right time? It actually, the word time is the word kairos. We think of time, it's linear. You know, when we think time, we think this happens and this happens and this. Time is a sequence for us. But the word kairos is not talking about a sequence of time. Kairos means the opportune moment. Kairos is the intersection of human history and God's perfect plan. It's the moment where those things meet. When human conditions are perfect for the accomplishment of God's purposes, this is kairos time. Galatians 4 says that the birth of Christ, or Christmas, came in the fullness of kairos. And that's comforting for us to hear, isn't it? It's so sentimental. The fullness of time. God sent forth his Son. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thought. But I want for a moment us to consider the period of waiting that the people of God endured for this kairos moment to come. How excruciating it must have been. They waited for thousands of years. Hundreds of generations. You see, the Old Testament, it's full of all these promises from God. Like the second page of the Bible in Genesis 3, after, humanity messes things up, God comes in and he says to the devil, he says to the serpent, he says, "I'm going to send an offspring. I'm going to send a child." And he says to the serpent, "You'll bruise his heel," meaning you might put a nail through his foot, "but he'll crush your head." That's the first sort of allusion to the cross of Christ in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 3. But it's a promise that an offspring, a child, is going to come, and that child is going to crush the head of the serpent and bring life back into the world for humans. That's good news, right? And then there's promise. God promises Abraham that through his offspring, that a child from Abraham's line, he would bless the world and be a light to the nations. God promised David that a greater king than him would be born in his lineage, in his city, in Bethlehem, and this child would save the world from their sins. And so there's like this story all throughout the Old Testament of a child who's going to be born and is going to become a king and is going to save the people of God from oppression and from their sins. And the people of God, I mean, this long story in the Old Testament, they're going, when is this king coming? When is the king going to come? And thousands of years passing, don't you know they were tempted to give up? And they were tempted to lose hope. Hundreds of generations. And they're going, God promised, but he's not delivering. Instead, what we read in the history of the people of Israel is a lot of oppression, a lot of enslavement, a lot of exile. And it's into this context that the prophets speak. The prophet Habakkuk, for example, says in Habakkuk 2, verse 3, he says to the people of Israel in their waiting and in their frustration, he says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. You see, Habakkuk, the prophet, tells God's people, the promises of God will always come in their appointed time. God is never late. His promises are always sure, and he never delays. And these are incredible promises from the prophet. But how could the people of God trust these promises when they had waited thousands of years for a Savior? At some point, don't you think they would be like, okay, we've heard this before. We've heard this before. Because, I mean, wouldn't you think they'd be tempted to give up hope? I mean, wouldn't it feel after generations that God was absent that maybe all this thing was just a big story or a fairy tale? And that may be how some of you feel today. Where's my husband? Where's my wife? Where's the reward for all my hard work that I've put in at my company? Where's my child? Where's my healing? Where's my contentment? Why is this taking so long? Where is my healing? And what I want you to hear this afternoon is that when God seems slow, he is faithful. And while we wait, we must remember his faithfulness. Do you know how the people of Israel were able to wait for so long? Do you know how they were able to endure the waiting for the Messiah, believing that the promise, the great promise, would come to pass? They were able to believe and hope because they had seen God's faithfulness all throughout their history. You see, there are little moments of God's faithfulness that we can hold on to while we wait for the great moments of God's faithfulness. And so the people of Israel could look back at their history, and don't you know their ancestors told these stories again and again and again, and they could look back on these moments of God's faithfulness so that they could have the strength to hope forward. And the people of Israel had seen God's promises and his perfect timing on display all throughout their history. Think about when they were suffering as slaves in Egypt. They're like, when is this ever going to end? But God, in his kairos time, in the perfect timing and in the perfect situations, he raises up Moses, who's born in the house of Pharaoh, but yet he is an Israelite, raises him up to be their deliverer at just the right time. It was perfect. It was God's kairos timing in the history of Israel to redeem them and rescue them from slavery. Think of the story of Esther. People of Israel were they were on deck for genocide. But God perfectly timed and placed and raised up Esther into the king of Persia's court for such a time as this, the Bible says, to rescue her people, the people of Israel, from genocide. In David's life, God promised him, you'll be the king of Israel. But David had to endure years of waiting and being tormented by King Saul. But in God's perfect timing, God raised up David at just the right time. God raised up Ezra, he raised up Nehemiah, he raised up the prophets, each one in their perfect time. And so the people of God had seen the people of Israel had seen God's faithfulness, his kairos timing, in all these smaller moments. And they could look back on those moments and they go, okay, God has been faithful. He'll be faithful today and he'll be faithful tomorrow. We can still hope forward because we're looking back at God's faithfulness. And that waiting was difficult, but it came in the fullness of time. And what I want you to see this afternoon is this, is if you are struggling in a season of waiting today, can you take a moment this afternoon, maybe when you leave here, get your journal, maybe open up a Word document, and just write out all the previous times in your life where God has been faithful. And what I think you'll find as you write those things out, you say, God was faithful to me yesterday. He was faithful to me last year. My goodness, you're here. Like, we just went, like, the last 2 years have been awful. And you're here. That is God's faithfulness. And you can grab a hold of that. You know, my son, some of you guys know, my oldest son has some disabilities. And with that come constant challenges and constant worries in our hearts that wondering, is he going to hit the next developmental milestone? And my wife today just texted some pictures of him when he used to walk in a walker. And I don't know if some of you, if any of you remember this, but I mean, I remember in my small group here at this church, we would pray every small group that my son would walk. And that felt like a hopeless prayer because our neurologist told us that our son would never walk. Our son was 5 years old at the time. He wasn't walking. But we pray, God, would you give strength to my son's legs and let him walk? And he started walking when he was 5.5 years old. Seems late to us, but it was God's kairos timing. And today, as my wife sent me pictures of my little son in a walker or scooting on his little behind around the apartment, I remembered God's faithfulness. And all the fears we have for his future, I was able to look back at God's faithfulness on his past and go, God's going to be faithful tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And what is that for you while you wait? Write down God's faithfulness in your life. You know, in that song we just sang, here I raise my Ebenezer. You guys are like, what in the world does an Ebenezer mean? An Ebenezer is a monument of God's faithfulness. Like, get a tattoo or something. Is there a moment where God has been faithful to you? Like, write the date down on your arm so that you can look. That's an Ebenezer. You go, God was faithful then. He'll be faithful tomorrow. Maybe, I don't know, get a painting or something in your house or something. Have markers in your life that are your Ebenezers that you look to that say, God was faithful then. He'll be faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow. And he'll be faithful in the future. When God seems slow and while we wait, remember that God is faithful. And while we wait, I also want you to see that we have to remember that God is always on time. That sounds so cliche, and I used to grow up in a church where they'd say, God is always on time. And I used to roll my eyes at that, but as I get older, you know what I'm finding about some of the cliches that they spout off in church? Sometimes they're so true. God is always on time. He's always on time. And don't you know that the people of Israel, they had to get frustrated at God's timing. David prayed in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? How many of you prayed that prayer? How long will you hide your face from me? We can get so frustrating at God's timing, can't we? Why is it not here yet? Have you ever asked this question? Why didn't God send Jesus sooner? Like, why did the people of Israel have to wait for so long? Why didn't God send Jesus sooner? Why did he allow his people to suffer and wait for all those generations? Well, have you ever wondered why Jesus was born at the exact moment in time in history that he was? What if Jesus had been born 200 years earlier? What if Jesus had been born 200 years later? What difference would that have made? Let me just tell you this. If Jesus would have been born 100 years earlier, the extensive Roman road system that was set up during the Pax Romana would not have been in place. The Pax Romana, the Roman road system, is what made it possible for Jesus to travel from town to town and to preach. Furthermore, it's what allowed his disciples to travel from town to town, from nation to nation, to preach the gospel after Jesus' resurrection. More, and not only that, thanks to the Greek and Roman conquest prior to the birth of Jesus, Latin and Greek were required to be universal languages throughout the Roman Empire. So everyone spoke Latin and Greek, which made communication that much easier across cities and communities. The Bible is written in Greek, a language that everyone in the Roman Empire knew, and it was able to spread like wildfire after Jesus' resurrection. You see, if Jesus had come 100 years earlier, he wouldn't have had the avenues, the streets to travel from town to town. And the languages would have been so mixed up. There would have been so many languages that it would have been virtually impossible to preach the gospel to every people group. See, Jesus came right on time. God's timing is always perfect. God sent Jesus at the precise moment in human history that he always intended to. He was never late. He was always on time. You see, in the eyes of humanity, God was slow to deliver on his promises to Israel. Why did he wait so long, we think? But in the eyes of God, he was right on time. This is Kairos time, the fullness of time. And in your life, listen, you may feel like God is taking his sweet time. Anybody feel like that? God, why is God taking his time in my life? But here's what I want you to know. God doesn't submit himself to your 10-year plan. Your timeline is not God's timeline. He works in Kairos time. And Kairos time is the fullness of time. It's the perfect time. And while it feels like he's delaying, he is always right on time. Listen, I confess that for a couple years now, we've been praying that God would give us a facility. And we've had a couple opportunities where we've seen the ball and we've tried to swing at it and we've swung and missed. Or Kyle and I were always looking around the neighborhood trying to find, and it's just like, man, where is the 10,000 square foot building for $1,500 a month? You know, it doesn't exist in this town. You know, like, where is it? And we've been renting temporary space on Sundays for so long, bouncing from venue to venue, and it's so frustrating. And we pray every Wednesday morning, our deacons pray in all of our meetings that God would give us a facility. And I confess that I currently, daily, get so frustrated that it's not here. I'm like, God, your word says that you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. Why don't you sell them and give the money to us so that we can buy the building? But here's the thing, I'm choosing to trust in God's perfect timing. What other choice do I have? My choice is either grow cynical and bitter and angry at God for not giving me what I want when I want it, or trust that God has always been faithful to this church and that he's going to be faithful to give us what we need when we need it, and he's going to provide the means for it. God is always on time, and we have to trust that, because if we don't, our only option is to grow cynical and bitter and impatient. And that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the enemy. And your loneliness, perhaps, may be causing you to feel like God is distant or he's unconcerned with your life. Maybe you're waiting for a child or a relationship or a healing or a home, and maybe you're just frustrated with the injustices of the world. God knows we should all be angry and furious about another school shooting, right? And we go, how long, oh Lord? But God, in his perfect timing and his perfect justice, he will bring justice to evildoers, and he will bring healing to those who hurt. And it's easy for us to question whether God is absent or whether he's even present at all. But what we know from the scriptures is that God is always with us, and he's always with us in our pain, and he's always on time. Like a kid waiting for Christmas, we're like, when? The day's never going to come. It's slow as Christmas. But Christmas came in the Kairos time. And so slow as Christmas doesn't mean slow. It doesn't mean delayed. It just means that we're waiting on God's perfect timing. Last thing I want you to see is that while we wait, when it seems God is slow, we have to remember that God shows up in unexpected places. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. God would be born of a woman? That doesn't seem right. That seems unexpected, doesn't it? That he would be born under the law? Under the law? To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. You know, the people of Israel were not expecting a baby in a manger born to a peasant teenage girl, virgin from Nazareth, were they? And so what happened is on Christmas Day, nobody was expecting that type of Messiah. And so what ended up happening is there was a very small crowd around the Messiah when he came into the world. Shepherds, wise men, Mary, Joseph, some animals, Elizabeth, Zechariah. That's about it. Because the rest of the people were expecting a king with a big sword. But on Christmas Day, Jesus was coming as a baby born to some parents that nobody thought of in a town that nobody cared about. Frederick Buechner says that once you've seen Jesus in a stable, you never quite know where he will show up. Sometimes we think God is slow. Sometimes we think God is not answering our prayers or that he's delaying his blessings in our lives. But the reality is that his blessings and his fulfilled promises are all around us. They're just often not how we expect them, so we don't see them. We miss them. In this Advent, I want to encourage you as you wait. You know, many of you feel like God isn't doing anything significant in your lives. But He is. He is. Perhaps you just need to pay attention. Speak out the mercies of God. Count them one by one. Count the mercies of God. Count them one by one, the scriptures say. It's not always how you expect it, but God is always with us and He's always faithful. And so this Advent, here's what I want to encourage you with. As you wait, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what God is already doing in your life. You say, God's not doing anything in my life. Yes, He is. You're just not paying attention. He was born in a stable to some parents from Nazareth. He's doing something in your life. He's been faithful. I want you to ask the Spirit to give you the eyes to see how God has been faithful and how He's currently faithful. It may not look like the script that you would have written for your life, but God is the author and the perfecter, the author of Hebrews says. Ask Him to show you where He is writing your story. You see, when God seems slow, consider that it may not be that He is delaying. It may just be that you're not seeing clearly. You see, at Advent, we wait for Christmas, the coming of Jesus into our lives. And it's in this season we learn that God is with us in our waiting. He is Emmanuel, God with us. In this season, we learn that God is always on time. In the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son. And in the fullness of time, He's going to send His Son again. And He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. And in this season, we learn that God's blessings are often seen in the unexpected places. That isn't the only truth of Jesus' birth either. It's not only true of His birth, it's true of His resurrection. You know, no one expected a king to die on a cross outside of Jerusalem. That's why they said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They mocked Him. You can't be a king and die on a cross. That's unbecoming of a king. He didn't behave the way they expected a king to behave. But no one expected Him to rise 3 days later either. He was unlike any other king who came before Him. The way Jesus operates is always unexpected. And today we watch and we wait as our lives and world may feel out of control. But we trust in this, the final words of Jesus. Open your Bible to the last page. Not the index, but the Bible part, Revelation 22. The last words of Jesus are this: "Surely I am coming soon." The last words of Jesus spoken to us in the scriptures are this: hold the line. Hold steady. Certainly, I am coming soon. And to that we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Let's pray. Father, your word says in Psalm 33, our soul waits for the Lord. You are our help and you are our shield. For our heart is glad in you because we trust in your holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who came right on time, not the way we imagined, but just the way we needed. And so we trust, God, that you will be on time and just as we need you. And so we wait for you with eager anticipation and expectation for the promises that you will fulfill. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.